Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris. I'm excited because I got my buddy Ishmael Valdez sitting across from me.
What's up, Chris?
He was looking at me. Now he's looking at his phone. Go figure. It's always good to have any of my boys in here too. So it's just good to have you come in.
Thank you, bro.
Finally.
I know
you wait on me. Well, I know it's usually my fault, but it's also your fault. I know. So it's our fault.
Dude, you know what?
We're both busy
and that's the dope part about it. So.
Well, that's a good thing. Especially right now, it's summertime. You're getting a lot busier. I keep seeing the text messages coming through for the stat orders getting insane. So that's getting cool to see a thing.
That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, for all the listeners, most of you guys already know who Ishmael is too, former CEO of NextGen, founder, and then now the head janitor for Nuve.
Yep.
Head janitor.
Yep.
Which is, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about on this particular episode, but we have other things we want to talk about. Like, we were just talking before the podcast that I was with Tommy up in Idaho this week, and we're just talking about like the future of trades and really what will next year look like. I mean, because, you know, a lot of people who are growing or scaling or like real good operators are already thinking about 2026 plans. I mean, right now it's June or July. What the hell month is it? July?
Yep.
July. Shit. Thinking about what am I doing next year?
Yep.
And not waiting until it gets slow. Like you're already starting to plan. So we were just talking about the same thing. Like what's next year going to look like with all the changes that Trump administration has made, you know, in Congress this year with better interest rates, we'll get better interest rates. The no taxing on the overtime and tips is a big fucking deal,
yep.
Right? So a lot more cash flow, I think, for some of the people. So we were thinking like, hey, man, next year is going to be a really great year for us. You think, is that you're heading the same place?
Dude, I feel like it's going to be a really good year for everybody in the trades on it. Obviously, if he, you know, I agree with most of the things that that Trump's doing. But if he stops with this nonsense of deportation and all that, because whether we admit it or not, 38% of the labor comes from Hispanics and Latins and Mexicans in the trades. So obviously the agriculture got pretty fucked in, hurt pretty bad. The restaurants, the hotel industry, like those, he had to stop doing that to them. Like it's going to get to the construction and like he has to understand like, we are a pivotal part in the construction side and in the economy in general. So I hope we come up with a good agreement where we could keep the good hardworking people of Mexican Americans here, yeah. And we could kick the scumbags out of here.
Yeah, for sure.
So
you know what's interesting is I woke up this morning with a white landscaper in my backyard. Wow.
That's the first one. That's the first one in Arizona.
I was like, who the fuck is in my backyard right now? And then I saw him carrying a plant. I was like, oh, okay. But I think that there's some changes starting to happen, but it's still subjective. Like there has to be a definitive rule on who you can and can't go after for deportation. Like shit, that's where it gets weird.
Especially going to job sites, like go somewhere else, bro. Like that's the one thing, like those people are working, like, and they're obviously paying taxes. They're obviously, you know, working, like get rid of the scumbags that are in the streets, like at 2 a.m., right? Doing nonsense. That's the people you want to get rid of. But you know, whether we come up to an agreement or not, I know the trades are always going to pull through and we're going to find a way to make them better. So I'm excited in general because I think the best years are coming in the next 2 to 3 years. You know, there's things that I don't agree with him, but there's things that I do agree with him, like the tariffs and all the things that he's doing for the economy. And you could see it, man. You could see it. You go outside and it's fucking booming, bro. Construction's going on. People are, you know, massive companies.
Inflation's down.
Massive companies are flooding into the United States saying, hey, I'm going to invest and I'm going to do this. And I'm going to look a Nuve too. Like I'm paying tariffs for shipping them out of the Philippines and Armenia right now. So guess what I'm doing? I'm literally right now, straps to the boots. I'm going to Texas right now and looking for ways to manufacture my thermostat here in the United States. And it's all because of the tariffs too.
So, you know what I think I always really appreciate about just about you in general is when I think about just even not just forget your next gen journey, because I've known you through, yep, I'd say 70% of your next gen journey, is the willing to, like, the willingness to just grind your ass off. Like, and you're like, you've been all over the place before you even came in here today, and you're flying in today and out today. Yep. Right. So, yep, but you're here all day long in Phoenix, you know, and you have meetings because you're back to, grassroots podcast.
Dude, it is insane, man. Honestly. And I was just talking to Tom Howard about this. I'm like, bro, I fucking hate you sometimes when I have to wake up knowing that I sold my company for a ton of money and I didn't have to wake up anymore. I don't have to like check what's going on with Nuve. I didn't have to like, sometimes I mess around with them and I tell them, bro, I fucking hate you. Honestly. Like, I could have been in the golf course. I could have been spending time with my girls. I could have been, you know, working. I could have been like not checking on 200 employees that I have now. I could have been doing that. But on the flip side, like, dude, I've never been excited about a product and about a project this much. So I'm good, man.
Yeah, dude, because your plan is to, it's you want to get to this, you got this 3-year plan to get to $1 billion valuation, 100%. Right? But the cool thing about that is how you're getting there. Because listening, you bust my balls all the time. So it's like not like a secret. Yeah, but I had an opportunity to invest in Nuve, yep, and I didn't, yep, and I still hear about it. And I told you what I tell you on text message last week. I wish I would. I should have fucking done it. Cause you're done. But I didn't know you as well then either. Like, we were just starting to have a relationship, you know? So like it was, I'm told you, I was proud of you because it's like, dude, this thing is on a rocket ship and it's cool. But what makes it cool is because of, you're taking the contractor feedback, yep, from first gen, yep, and then making the adjustments to it. Like, you're listening to the people and making the adjustments, and these guys, they want them. And listen, you they're in here. You see them on my walls.
Yep.
So I think that's part of the deal is like, you have to keep listening to the feedback, the good and the bad.
100%.
Make the adjustments that make sense.
Yep.
And I'll get into more of the Nuve stuff, a little bit later, cause I have some specifics I want to ask around it and like what you're hearing from, the market and, what you're thinking about for future state.
But to that point though, Chris, honestly, like, me going into shops, like I was just in Dallas yesterday, at a shop helping them with their operations and obviously presenting the Nuve product. Like, but to that point, me going into shops, me doing like, dude, I've done probably thousands of one-on-ones now with contractors that are struggling in their business or they're trying to integrate Nuve or whatever the case is. So I've done a ton of one-on-ones and I've done, group meetings every Thursday, every end of the month, we do mentorings. Like, bro, how I see it in my concept is like, I'm listening to my contractors. Those are my clients. For you guys out there that are contractors, you guys should never fucking stop listening to those clients that are out there talking about your company. And the best way to do it is through your reviews, right? Reviews, like Yelp and Google don't fucking lie, because we all have this in our operation, right? We have that one manager that, one-star review comes in and they're complaining about a technician, a sales guy, an installer, whatever. And they're like, oh, well, that client's, crazy. And that client, we already went out there twice. And that, like, they're always coming up with something that to justify that review. In hands, me as an operator, I would be like, look, if that client was treated properly and we went through our process from the time we knocked the door to the time we collected the payment, that review would have never happened. So obviously there's something not wrong right there. And that's the attention that these contractors need to start paying and stop excusing that it's okay for them to go online. And just because it's Yelp, that's the one thing that pisses me off, bro. Like, that frustrates me that when I talk to contractors, they always go back to, oh, well, it's Yelp, right, Ishmael? Like, they're always complaining. No, motherfucker. No, they're not complaining. They're complaining because there's something wrong. And you guys need to start listening as contractors and adjusting your operation to make sure that doesn't happen. Yelp and Google are the purest forms of listening to your client. Yelp and Google are the purest form to listening to your clients. And these contractors have to do a better job of listening. Because look, like Travis Ringy, he ran one of the best operations in the industry. 10,000 Google reviews, 5-star rating on Google and Yelp. Like, but guess what he did? Every time there was a 1-star review, or every time there was an email, or every time there was a customer calling in to complain, they took care of it right then and there. And that's the beauty behind our operation and behind what we do. We get to listen to our clients, and us as operators, we should do a way better job of adjusting and modifying the operation to making sure that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I think I have an opinion on this too. And before I do want to talk about your Nuvei network, but this is on my mind. You know, I can't remember who I learned it from, and maybe Ryan, if you remember who it was from on the podcast, it was somebody had asked me, or said, you should always take a look. If you're at the top, if you're the CEO of the business, if you're a general manager, if you're a whatever in leadership, if it's you, you're the technician, is you have to look at any of these situations, which, by the way, every contractor fucks shit up. Like, everybody messes stuff up. We mess stuff up often. And the worst thing we can do is not learn from it.
And
right?
Ignore it.
And ignore it. Yep. Can't do that. So, but you also have to think, like, I have these conversations with people, and I'll say, even though they're like four layers below me and something went wrong, I'm saying, what was my part in this? Like, and maybe it's like very far removed, but I'm still trying to think about, was there something
that
was
broken?
Was there a system I could have put in place better? Should I have checked out more? Like, and it challenges you to think about, what is my role? Now, you might not come up with anything, but if you switch your thinking to that way, I think you find more solutions faster. 100%. And I think that's a really good way for those that are you're leading to look at you and say, oh shit, they're always looking for, like, so you can't just be a technician and say, oh, you know, that, you know, Mrs. Jones, she's just a bitch.
No,
you still got to, like, try and figure out what it is. Now, we know that some people can 100%. Totally be unreasonable.
And you're, like, always going to have that. And that's part of being in business. But the one thing, like you said, you can't ignore it, and you got to do something about it. Because what's the number one complaint, and this goes to you, what is the number one complaint that every freaking contractor has for you? Where's the leads? Where's the leads? How come I don't have any leads? And it's like, bro, like, how do you expect to have leads when your Yelp rating is 3.8 with like 100 reviews and your competitor has 7,000 with 4.9? Like, how do you expect to have leads when your Google rating is 4.4 with 200 reviews and you have NextGen and Service Champions and ProScale and all these guys with 10, 20, 30,000 reviews, right? How do you expect to have that? How do you expect to get leads in the shoulder season and customers gravitate to your company when you're not doing your part? When you're not doing your part or making sure the operation's set properly to making sure that every customer has the right customer experience to be able to go in there on Yelp and Google frictionless and start reviewing about your company. So operators out there that are always fucking complaining, and this is one thing that I learned in my mentorings that I'm doing with my contractors and the network that I'm growing with Nuvei, is I am learning that these guys have fucking excuses for everything. And the dope part about, like, this, I don't know what other networks do or what other mentoring platforms do. They don't bullshit me, bro. That's the one thing. You cannot bullshit me because I've been through that fucking grind. I've grown a company 2 times already. I know what it is when customers are complaining. I know that when you're, you know, coming up, if I come up to you and I say, hey, why do you have 4.2 star rating on Google and only 200? Oh, it's because I'm like, okay, cool. So you're not paying attention. That's the real problem.
You're in business
you're
how many
the
years?
Problem. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I call them straight up, bro. And sometimes I feel like I go too far for them. And then I go like, man, they're not going to want to talk to me again, bro. The next week, Ishmael, can we have another one-on-one, Ishmael? Or can you show me how, bro, some of these contractors need to be called out on their bullshit. And that's what I've been learning the last, 8 months that I've been doing these mentoring programs.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that real quick, because one of the things I was trying to think through is, anytime we do these episodes, I'm always just trying to think, sometimes I overthink on what I want to get from it. But sometimes what people just need to hear is like the harsh truth,
100%.
The situations and that we talk about marketing companies. We talk about, like you just said, everybody wants leads.
Yeah.
I don't believe, I honestly don't believe that any of the digital marketing companies that I know that are serving the trades, those that I have relationships with, there's a bunch now, but I know a handful. I don't think anybody is just saying, man, I can't wait to fucking take their money and suck 100%. For them. I don't believe that about anybody.
I 100% believe it. I agree with you.
But when you get bigger,
yep.
It is harder because you have more people that you're responsible for that have to follow a process and way more pressure and you have way more contractors. Yep. I think we have something like 1,200 clients or something crazy like that today. And a lot of account managers, hardest fucking job in this company, I think, is being an account manager, because you're the one managing your feelings as the contractor, trying to manage the teams who are actually executing. Oh, that's what it is. So I don't believe it, but where you have the chance to make it right is is when the customer complains, you find out, is it real? Is it not real? To them, yeah. it's real. So yeah. you got to like sift through the truth.
Of course.
But the only way that we get better is by feeling the pressure of those shitty moments.
Yep.
Right. And that's just, you know, I think Peterman will say that's like a chapter in the book. He's like, oh, it just was the shitty chapter where I learned a lot. And then the next chapter was better.
Yep.
So you are working with a lot of contractors as part of the Nuve network.
Yep.
And still doing one-on-ones and stuff like that. So I'm curious in like today's market, you know, because you're how far removed now from next gen?
Two years.
So you've been busting your ass on Nuve. You're working one-on-one with these contractors. What are you hearing most from them now? Like, what's the biggest pain points now? And I'll bet you some of these are the same pain points that we hear all through, you know, last 20 years. But what are the most of the pain points that you're having to deal with now, or help them? See that they're doing wrong or fixing or whatever.
One thing you'll hear a lot from Blueon users, they've stopped ordering the wrong part. Derek from FH Fuhrer used to trust vendors for parts, only to send his techs out with the wrong one, costing time, money, and customer trust. Since bringing on Blueon, their misses have dropped to zero. He even says that if a mistake happens now, it's usually because someone didn't run it through Blueon. It's become essential to their parts process. And here at Peterman Brothers, we're definitely seeing that impact too. Click on the link in the description and grab a quick demo. It will be worth it.
The main thing that most contractors are doing wrong that I'm like beginning to realize is that they, because you're a CEO, because you're a general manager, or you're in charge of an operation, what I'm seeing is that there's nobody on top of them to hold them accountable. So lack of accountability is probably one of the biggest fucking things that I've taken away from my Nuve networks, that one-on-ones and mentorings that I've been doing with these guys, that most of these operators are employee-based operators. They haven't graduated their mindset into being a CEO, into being an entrepreneur, into being an operator. Most of these guys, 90, dude, and I'm not talking about 1 out of 10. I'm talking about 9 out of 10 contractors that I'm talking to right now that I'm trying to help them, you know, fix their operation or increase leads or you know, grow their revenue or grow their profit, whatever the pain point that we're dealing with, the vast majority of the fall falls in them, where since nobody's holding them accountable, there's really no metric for them to follow. And they have no direction. So they're just being employees again. And I'll give you a perfect example. There's this lady, Anidra, back east. I think she's in Tennessee, a $5 million company. And she's just having problems with, you know, recruiting and marketing, all this, right? And she shows me an email that she sent to her employees. And the email is like fucking 3 paragraphs with an intro. And I'm like, Anidra, you need to stop being an employee. You will never, ever catch any real CEO operator. You will never catch Steve Jobs sending a 3-page email. Our emails are simple, man. We have no explanation to our employees. We just got to give them direction. And that's what I've been learning about these CEOs, that yes, most of the fault is in them, 100%. You can't be blaming the marketing company. You can't be blaming the weather. You can't be blaming the situation that they're in. You can't be blaming cash flow anymore. They got stuck in a place where it's their own fault, and they need somebody to get out there and give them direction. On the flip side, where I get frustrated is there's a ton of fucking mentors out there that don't know what the fuck they're doing, and that they shouldn't be mentoring people, and that they shouldn't be, you know, charging people for anything, because number one, they haven't built anything. Number two, they were an employee and they had a successful exit, or they were an employee and they helped another company, whatever. And now they're mentoring. And that to me is a huge red flag. Like, when you're going to choose a mentor, number one, make sure that there's results in there. Right? Because how many people do we know are gurus in the industry now? And what have they done? Right? What have they done? So to answer your question is, look, we have a huge problem of CEOs right now with employee mindsets. And we need to start graduating their mindset into a CEO. And we have a bigger problem of fucking cons coming into our industry and trying to infiltrate and lead these people just to take their money. Those are two problems that we got to face as in the industry right now.
Well, our group, you know, we have influence, but we still only probably influence this much of a massive industry. 100%. So it is hard to see it, because obviously I've seen it multiple times.
Oh, a ton of times.
And it is painful, and you feel bad for those contractors who are just busting their ass, man, to try and like get things done, and they're just listening because they're asking for help, and then they get bad help.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's always like, I think about, man, if you made it 5 years in the business, you get to 5 million. If you made it to 5 million, went through some shit.
Oh yeah.
And you went through some shit and you've got something here. Yeah. But there, you know, you didn't know how to, like, I brought on a private equity partner because I didn't know how to grow the business any bigger. And well, I should say, I didn't think I did.
Yeah.
I know now I could have done it. But you don't know,
Of course.
So I picked the partner. Right. And that was me waving the white flag saying, I'm okay with asking for help. I just think that, you know, the contractor still has to do some diligence, man, figure out like, who am I actually listening
yes.
to? Like, let's Google that shit. Let's yes. chat GPT and yes. find out who am I being led by?
Yes.
And maybe if you're a small guy, sub-$1 million, and you find somebody that's, you know, built a $10 million business, well, then that might be okay. But 100%. If you're just looking to be a $10 million company, then like, that's okay. I mean, that's okay, by the way.
I would encourage our contractors, instead of looking for these fucking gurus or these, you know, these silver bullets out there, I would encourage them to help each other instead. If you're a $1 million contractor, there's plenty of $5 million guys around you that you should be spending time with. And you're a $5 million to $10 million contractor, there's plenty of $25 million guys out there that you guys should be building a little, kind of like what we did. Kind of like what we did. It's a bunch of $100 million guys trying to make it to the next level, right? The next level is $1 billion, and we're all trying to get there, right? Which is fucking insane to say right now. But like, I did it at 5 million, at 10 million, at 25. Like, I've always looked for help in our peer group to other successful contractors. I never had, like, you know, besides Tom Howard coming into my life in 2019, I've never paid a mentor to grow to 100 mil. I've always looked at people that were already at 40, 50, 100, 80, 90 mil. And I looked at their operation and I went and I mimicked and I took something from them and I brought it. And the most important thing I did is I fucking implemented right away and I took actions. And that's what contractors need to do, instead of always thinking that somebody's gonna come and save them. Nobody's gonna come and save you guys. Nobody's gonna, because I'm gonna give you the harsh reality. Nobody fucking cares. Nobody cares, bro. Nobody cares. That statement has been true in throughout my whole freaking life. Nobody gives a flying fuck. Nobody. Nobody cares. So instead of waiting for somebody to throw a lifesaver at you, instead of waiting for somebody to say, hey, I'm here to help you, instead of waiting for that, look around, Google it, Yelp it, go on social media and look at who's running a profitable business, who's running a bigger business, and go spend a day in their operation. That's what I would encourage people to do, instead of always trying to look for somebody that they think that's going to help them. And in exchange, they're taking fucking equity from them. Right? Yep. We know plenty of those people, and they're taking money from them. Right. Yep.
And you know what else I think is interesting? I know that, people are looking for shortcuts. Like, there's only one real way to go, and that is just to, you got to fucking do the work. Like, there's no way around it. There's And there is no shortcut.
There is no
shortcut. If there was, that would be.
And there's no substitute for hard work. There is zero substitute for hard work.
Yeah, well, and listen, here's another thing. All these new automation and AI tools and all the shit that's out there, and there's a bunch right there, and we talk about this frequently on here too. That's also not like an easy button. Like,
no.
You can't just implement the shit thinking things are going to get better. Like, that still takes somebody to focus on the integration of whatever the tool is. And there's so fucking many that you can be distracted by.
And all those tools, Chris, are making it easier, but it's not going to do the work itself.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, before service time, we still had to fucking do everything manually. Now that service time came in, yes, it alleviated a pain point, but guess what? We still have to go inside of the house. We still have to go in there and diagnose the system. We still have to go in there and present the options. We still have to go in there and close the deals. We still have to do that. So all of these things, the tools that people are giving us, whether it's Chirp, whether it's service time, whether it's Nuve, whether it's whatever it is, yes, it's going to help you. Yes, it's going to give you a little bit of less friction inside of the operation. At the end of the day, you still have to do the work.
Yeah. Do you have any? So since we're on this path, like, I've totally,
this is a badass fucking episode, by the way.
I totally went off track because we went down on tangent, and that's the shit that I love about doing these podcasts, is when we kind of go on a tangent, because usually there's some really good shit in there.
Of course.
But since we're talking about AI and automation, is there any that that in particular stand out to you? This is going to be a two-part question. I'll start there because the next part's going to talk about AI versus human beings in the future.
Of course.
So, but what stands out to you in regards to AI automation? Like, you know, and by the way, this isn't like, I didn't ask Ishmael this ahead of time, like ask him on the fly, but what are the ones that, you right now think, hey, these are the ones that I think are
people need to focus on making sure that they're keeping up with the customer service side of it, right? Meaning the customer service rep is going to get replaced no matter how we see it. Now, right now, it's a little bit iffy. It's not developed yet where it has empathy, where it has common sense, where it has a little bit of back-end knowledge on the trades. It doesn't have the human touch of it, but it's going to get there and it's going to get here fast. So what I would tell people, contractors in general, and this is for roofing, air conditioning, plumbing, every single sector in our industry, is that the first impactful AI tool is going to be replacing the CSRs, right? After we replace the CSRs, we're going to replace the dispatchers, right? And I know ServiceTime's been working on Dispatching Pro for a million years and they still freaking suck at it. And I told this to Ara every single time I see him. I'm like, bro, all your pro products suck and you need to do a way better job of developing them faster and more user-friendly. But the customer service department is hands down going to be one of the first departments that we need to work on in the trades, because guess what? What's that one company that sells tickets? Ticketmaster's doing it already. I talked to one of the Ticketmaster's AIs and holy fuck. The whole time I was about to have a full on conversation about life with these people, with these AI agents, right? So AI, customer service reps, you guys should be focused on that. Keep your pulse on it. Maybe try one agent. Keep developing it. Keep feeding the data. Or obviously, the AI agent's only as good as the data provided to them, right? So that dispatching is going to be next. Obviously, accounting is going to be probably one of the last features that is going to be done in there. But eventually, accounting, you know, your P&Ls, your balance sheets, your cash flow statements, everything that's going to be done instantly. You know what I can't fucking wait for? The live P&L. And I know nobody's ever talked about this. A live fucking P&L where inventory, where fucking purchasing, where profit, where your
gross profit. Real-time P&L?
Real-time P&L. Where you can see your gross profit go up and down day by day. You can see what triggers the gross profit to go up or down. You can see your labor coming in. Like how much did I spend in labor today to the point, to the penny?
Automated, yeah.
Bro, once you have that, imagine, it's like having a driver's car now, right? Because it's all there. So I can't wait for the back end support. But look, essentially what we're going to see in the next 3 to 5 years is there's going to be maybe 4 or 5 people inside the office managing all these AI agents, which customer service, dispatching, accounting, all that. And everything, 90% of our work is going to be done in the field. 90% until obviously robotics get here. And for people that think I'm crazy when I'm telling them this, and for people that think that it's not coming, there is no fucking chance. There is no, it is 100% certain in stone. I will bet every penny that I own in my life that robotics is going to replace plumbing, electrical, roofing, barbers, nannies, cleaning ladies. It's going to replace everything. These fucking robots are going to be doing brain surgery here pretty soon. You don't think they could look at a toilet and unclog it for you? You don't think they could have the radar visions where the water's coming from and go in there and weld it? You don't think that, you know, they could go to a condenser and know that the capacitor is not functioning properly? Like, it is coming. No matter, bro, the good part is that robotics is going to, you know, change the whole labor in our industry and change the whole labor in the world. The bad part is, as human beings, what the fuck are we going
to
do?
Well, that's what I was saying. I think there's going to have to be government regulations on it, because they're going to need human beings to, like, otherwise it's going to be a much larger problem.
Yeah.
Everything. It's going to be, I mean, it is crazy to think about it. I used to do a presentation like, shit, it's probably been, this is before COVID, and I would talk about, do you think there'll be a time whenever you're taking a shower and you run out of shampoo and you just say, order me some more shampoo?
Yes.
Amazon, right? Like it's, and so
and now it's here.
It's yeah. And, but you could kind of see the writing on the wall coming, but that one was probably a little bit more believable.
You don't think you're going to be able to say, hey, I want to trim my beard today. And you sit down in a chair and it starts trimming your beard.
That would scare the shit out of me. You give a barber, a robot barber, a little thing to shave my neck.
Do you know what I'm saying though? No. But it's coming though. It's coming. And us as contractors have to be more realistic and stop being so fucking delusional of thinking that robots aren't going to do it. Robots are going to be re-roofing They're already doing it, but they're going to do it at a more efficient way. Dude, I just saw an episode on, I think I saw a video on Instagram. They just built a city in Texas with the machines that no labor was required. They built 200 homes in Texas. They're selling them for $350,000 to $400,000, depending on the size of it. No human was ever in that little city that they were building.
No shit.
And it was all with the robotics machine of just.
I don't know if we just scared the shit out of everybody on half of this conversation.
And don't take my word for it. There's a city in Texas right now. There's 200 homes up for sale, and there's people moving into them right now. And you can see they're already moving in, and the other side of the street, you can see the machines building the houses.
Man, I think 3 to 5 years is aggressive. I bet you it's a little further out than that.
Whether it's, let's say it's 10 years.
All you're trying to do is create some awareness around it. Yeah, I gotcha.
And urgency too, man. These fucking contractors have no urgency for nothing.
Yeah, I don't want them to hear, I don't want contractors to hear that and then be discouraged or be like,
no, they should be excited.
You should just keep grinding. And yes. What happens is, like we were just talking about, my marketing company, as it evolves, like I have to keep getting better. I gotta, it's getting, not getting easier. It's getting harder.
Yep.
But I'm also trying to think ahead. Like what do I need to be thinking about? You know, Anna's trying to figure out how do we become better operators of this business? Like, you know, they have to be thinking about, you know, you don't focus on it. You're just thinking about it.
Go out there and fire your people because the robots are coming. I'm not saying that, but what you do have to do is make sure that you have make sure you have your eye on that too. Right. You don't, the last thing you want is, you know, an enterprise level private equity company, you know, just order 10,000 robotics and you're still, and you have no idea it's happening. And all these air conditionings are getting installed by robots and you're over there in la la land getting your ass kicked. That's what you don't want. So what I'm telling you is don't focus on it and don't think that it's coming today or tomorrow in 3 years, maybe not even 5 years, but guess what? It's coming. So start educating yourself on it. How am I going to deal with it? Right. When it does come, just like you, right? Marketing is getting harder by the minute for you guys, right? AI is essentially going to do things that you guys never thought about, that we've never thought about in the marketing side of it, right? Now, are all marketing companies going to go out of business? Probably the shitty ones. And I hope they do, because there's a ton of fucking shitty marketing companies out there, a ton of them. But so, and I wish, and I hope AI wipes them clean, but there will always be a room for marketing companies, and especially really, really good marketing companies like Rhino.
Thanks, man. And I think that, I'm actually gonna go back to one simple thing that I know that you're passionate about. And so am I. And that is the simple thing called brand.
Yep.
So let's just switch gears for a second and talk about, I feel like I've said this the last, you know, 5 years, but every year it seems like it feels more real. And that is that brand is the one thing that will never not be important, right? Like it is so incredibly important. Now, you know that I was able to acquire majority stake in Prolific. Thank you. And they, you know, Prolific's done a couple brands for you. They've done a couple brands for me. They've done a shitload. DataCube.
They did Legacy.
Right, that's right. Legacy Roofing.
Right, which is a dope-ass logo. Thank you, Ryan.
Ryan, yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yep. Billboard looks badass up on the 17. I drive by it every night.
Fuck yeah.
I see more and more of the trucks coming into my neighborhood.
Yep. We're expanding into Phoenix right now.
Yeah, because you guys are up in, because I live so far north that my cabin's in Prescott. It's like an hour and 15-minute drive, so it's close.
Yep.
But I keep seeing you guys, you know, more and more, which is cool. But, you know, they did our Redbird Roofing branding, you know, which is completely different.
And it came out super clean.
Tim came out good. Thank you. Yep. It's because the picture of me on there.
and Chad
with his big burly beard that he doesn't really have. He wanted to look like a mountain man.
He probably had a vest on, huh?
God, made him take the vest off.
Thank you.
He loves that thing.
Hey, Chad, the 80s called. They want their vest back.
He's going to get you a vest for Christmas. But branding, let's just talk about for a second. You know, you did such a great job with the Next Gen brand because it was fucking everywhere. Yep. You drove in Southern California. It was all over the place. But even that, people will think about how hard it is to rebrand and they're not thinking about actually the flip side of what the rebrand could be. It doesn't mean you need to change the name necessarily.
100%.
Maybe it's just, you know, a refresh of the brand.
Of course.
Well, if you look at it from a couple different ways, it is one, it can also be really good for the culture of your business, for everybody to be a part of like the relaunch, right? Because if you're trying to reset maybe a toxic culture or whatever,
or had a shitty year,
whatever, and you just need to revamp everybody, get everybody excited again. That's a great way to do it.
I agree.
Does it have some costs associated to it? Yeah. Especially if you have a lot of rigs, you got to rewrap or whatever. But the upside is you have this really, you know, you've got now this brand that you can be proud of that hopefully what I love the most about Prolific, and obviously I'm friends with Antonelli and Kick Charge and all these guys. What I loved about it is when I went through their process, it was a longer process, but it was definitely more of like a, how do we make the brand like more of you? Like, cause the biggest differentiator in anybody's business as the owner is you, the individual, like you are the difference. Yep. And, I like that process because to me, I'm like, that feels really genuine to me, right? It's not just some fancy word or like a, you know, which a lot of people do. It's, you know, there's, and people love it. And I think some of them are cool, but to me, what matters most to me is I want it to be, you know, meaningful personal to me. And how Redbird Roofing worked out was, I live in Arizona. I'm from Indiana. I live in Arizona. I'm a big Arizona Cardinals fan. That's a red bird. There state of Indiana, the Indiana state bird is not Larry Bird, which I always say. It's actually a cardinal. So we didn't want to use cardinal. We wanted to use red bird, but the actual logo is a cardinal. So it connected me and Chad, you know, even that's though dope. We're in two completely different states, and it was just kind of like
that's creative, by the way.
And the meaning of a cardinal is like, it's good luck. Yep. It's like, you know, so there's a lot of cool meaning to it, but he took me down that path and I was like, cool, this felt really, really good when we created this brand. And I could feel really good about telling that story to the employees who are like, oh, this makes sense. So a rebrand might be something that you think about for 2026. Yep. And if it is, I hope you use Prolific or at least give us a shot. But the other part about it is people's personal brands. So I wanted to kind of pivot to that. I'm starting to see more contractors on social media trying to create a social media or their own personal brand.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on, even if you're an owner or even let's just say you're even a sales rep, you're whatever. A comfort consultant, whatever, fuck it. What do you think about people creating their personal brands under different than the company name?
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp's deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Look, in the world we're headed right now, which is the AI world, and you're going to hear our artificial intelligence for the next 100 million years as the most impactful part of life that we're going to experience, right? In the world we're headed right now, the AI agents are essentially going to make and look everybody look the same. Everybody's gonna have the caught actions and the same slow. Like everybody's gonna start looking and sounding the same because these AI agents don't know any better, right? The only thing that contractors could do, and this isn't just for contracting, this is for business in general. The best thing people could do right now is start telling your story online. Start putting a face behind your logo. Start putting a face behind your company because that is the way that you're going to be able to set yourself apart from all of these artificial things that are about to happen. Artificial, it's in the fucking word. Artificial, everything's going to become artificial. Everything's going to be vanilla. Right. And the only way to go away from vanilla is that personal brand that you're going to be able to look. I'll give you a perfect example. Go on Twitter, go on Instagram, go on Facebook and look at Tesla. They have 1 or 2 million followers. They have 1 or 2 million interaction. Go on fucking Elon Musk. There's fucking hundreds of millions of people following. Why? He is Tesla. And the reason why people love and enjoy and are obsessed with Tesla and buy stocks and all that is because of him. I promise you, if nobody ever would have met Elon, if Elon would have never came out of the woodworks and it was just Tesla, 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 guess what he would have been? He would have been another Ford. He would have been another GMC. He would have been another Honda. Like, who the hell's the CEO of Honda? Who the hell is the CEO of Ford and GMC? And who's getting their ass kicked right now? Those guys are getting their ass kicked. Why? Because they came from the 1940 mentality of like, you know, we built the best car. Yeah, we get it. You built the best car. But Elon's kind of cool, man. And I love the technology behind it. And I love, look, that guy, and this is just one example. Right? One example. In a world of artificial intelligence, in a world of bunch of fucking vanilla, you guys need to start putting some flavor behind it. And the flavor is you. And that's the only way you guys are going to be able to separate yourselves from the competition. So start putting yourself out there. And look, some of us are camera shy, which is fine. And some of us don't want to be on camera. Guess what? There's somebody in your team that is a diehard Rhino. And I'll give you a perfect example. The guy that was walking right here. What? Yes, yeah. Mike. He bleeds Rhino. Right. He's out there exposing himself. He's out there doing podcasts. He's out there doing roadshow. Like, that guy's on camera all day long. Yeah. Guess what? You guys, contractors in general, you guys have that same person. You guys have that mic inside your company. If you don't want to be in front of a camera, fine. I get it. You don't have no personality. You don't have swag. You don't have that crispy image that people are going to identify and people are going to be like, man, I really want to use Nuve because Ishmael's out there, you know, talking shit and I love the way he is. Start looking for that one person. And that person is going to be your brand ambassador. That person is going to be the face of the company. And look, as CEOs, we need to be humble enough to say, hey, that's not that online bullshit, Ishmael, and that social media is not for me. And that's okay. But don't, just because it's not for you doesn't mean you're going to let your business tank. Just because it's not for you, you're not going to do it. And guess what? Now you're wondering why there's no leads again, right? Yeah. I guarantee you, if you get your name out there and people start loving you and following you and sharing your story and people start connecting with you, when they go look for your service, guess who they're going to call? Of course.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah. So you just said something and that's going to derail me again, but you're going to want to have this conversation with me because you and I are on the same page about it. So I'm a big believer in the same thing. Like I've been an influencer for a decade, yep. Right? Because I've been in this industry so fucking long, yep. And I've spoke on so many stages and all, yep, this shit. And Mike does bleed the core values of this business. Yep. And so he's a genuine dude,
yep,
who is his own personality, but, yep, he's living out what we believe this business is. Amen. And what we do for contractors. So he's a guy who like legit gives a shit.
Yep.
And that's who you want. Of course. Somebody who really, really cares. And he's really smart. Like, yep, he knows our business well. But I wanted to give him that opportunity and he wanted to take that opportunity and run with it. So I just keep pushing. I mean, fuck, how many places I speak at last year? Two, like I barely spoke anywhere on purpose. Yeah. I don't even speak in my own event besides, you know, being the MC.
Yeah.
But I like to put him out front because he gets to go and represent this business. And it, though it's good for him when he wants to make a pivot and do his own thing, and I'm sure he will at some point, he'll still have represented Rhino so well that people will associate, you know, him with the business. And so, to me, that was like when he started doing so good at it, I was like, sweet. I don't have to go as much. Now I still have to do my own. This is why we have social media teams, right? Like, yeah, we have video production, things that can still put our content out there,
of course,
that keep us out front. But that's where I wanted to pivot to is, you know, you and I have talked about this around social media, like social media marketing, let's call it that.
Yep.
And it's pivoted quite a bit in this little five year, you know, stint we, yep, had. And the thing that I think that we've struggled with, and I've told you this, is I tried to build a social media like marketing team 3 separate times.
It's hard, man, for you guys.
Well, because what we don't, it is. It's actually very hard for it to make money. And I'll tell you why.
I agree.
Yeah, because in order to do it the way that I think it should be done,
it costs a lot of money. It
fucking costs a lot of money.
Of energy and a ton, mm-hmm, of time.
Time, and it could be travel. It could be because if you have these contractors who don't want to get in front of a camera and you got to be the one, well, shit, there's added expense to
and
that.
You got to fly them out and you got to do the content.
It's, like, it's not scalable. So
I agree.
At least to me, it's not scalable. So I couldn't quite figure
to everybody, not, yeah, just to you, to everybody. That's what I have told. How many times have you heard me say all marketing companies suck at social media?
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree. I sucked at it, right? Yeah. And I'm talking about us contracting for the contractor. Yeah. Obviously, our team does a really great job here at Rhino. Yep. But if I could duplicate this, because this is all authentic shit, like it's all us. That's why I feel good about it. That's what the contractor needs to have is all authentic them. If it's a technician going to do unclog a toilet, well, guess what? Just do a quick fucking how to on what you're already doing if they're comfortable. And that's good. Like that's an easy one.
100%. But what they don't want to do. And before you get to it, cause I think I know where you're going. Look at guys, this is what frustrates me the fuck out of our contractors. When they're filming their technicians working on an AC unit, when they're filming their plumbers working on a P trap, like, or they're explaining, oh my God, I can't stand that shit. When they're in front of a camera and they're like, well, this is a water heater and a 50-gallon water heater. And it's like, do you guys understand that nobody gives a flying fuck about that? Like, social media is entertainment. Social media, I'll give you I've been on social media right now for the last 8 months. I've been studying it. I've been on it. I've been putting content. I've been looking at my metrics. I've been looking. The one metric that everybody, if you're going to start getting into the social media game and you're going to start, you know, doing your own content in-house and you're going to start trying to put your brand out there, the one metric that everybody should watch is shares. And this is what they don't tell you. Okay. This is what people don't. I had to figure it out myself, bro. I am going to become a social media marketing fucking PhD masters at this. I built a social media team now. We have 6 people in our social media. Juju's one of them. He's following me, filming every day, right? Shares will give you the substance that you're putting out there. Now, when I see these contractors talking about water heaters and talking about an air condenser and what a capacitor does, and there's no shares on it, that means because nobody cares. Now, look, I'll go on my social media and I'll talk about, you know, artificial intelligence, or I'll talk about, you know, what contractors should be doing inside their operation to become more profitable. And I see 100, 200, 500,000 shares. That means that people are connecting with my substance. That means people are connecting with my content. And that's what people need to start doing. If you're going to do your own in-house social media, which I hugely, and I'm sure you agree with this, I hugely tell you, like, you guys right now should buy a fucking camera right now, or do it off your phone, buy a couple mics and start filming everything. And the cool part about social media, you don't know what's going to hit. That's the dope part. I put videos on my social media that I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to get a 1,000 shares, or I'm going to get, you know, 500,000 views on it. And it does like, you know, 500. And then I'll put shit that I'm just chilling, or I'm in my car, or I'm talking shit. And 24 hours later, you know, 600,000 views and 2,000 shares and 5,000 likes. And it's like, that's a fun part about social media. So yes, I'll let you finish the question, but please, please, guys, if you are going to do it fucking right. Don't half-ass it.
Yeah. So I completely agree with you, because I do. You and I have talked about this topic like specifically, and I still believe you have to have your own, like the best thing you could do is have your own in-house social team. Today, I think you have to have that. And if you can't afford to
grab one of your employees,
you can grab an employee. I think that's a good second. That's
grab
a great
CSR,
second.
Grab a CSR. Grab anybody that's in the office that has some kind of personality.
But all you need is really one person who can coordinate that whole thing. Yep. And if you get a social media manager or a coordinator or whatever you want to call it, who's in-house, well, then they can manage that for you. Like, they'll 100%. Be the one who sets up the meeting with Jill, the CSR, to go over X, Y, Z. Yep. You can approve. You as a leader can approve what the topics are going to be. Of course. If you want, have them bring them to you. But, That's where it's like, man, how have I never been able to figure that thing out? So I've tried to keep an eye on who are the people out there who I think are doing a good job, right? And there's not many. In the home services space, none. I can maybe
Tommy's doing an okay job. Like, I've talked to him about this. I'm like, your social media sucks, bro, but it's better than 99% of people out there. You know, Tom's getting into the game now, and I seen some of his videos. They suck, by the way, too, Tom. But nobody is doing social media right the way it's supposed to be.
That's what I'm saying. So here's where I'm getting with that. The bar is low. I don't think that I love that you bust Tommy's balls. I think Tommy's team does a great job. He's got a big team too. Yeah. But I'm talking about who's an actual like social media marketing company who's out there trying to do it right now. And I can only think of one person. And I won't say anything other than like, I think the bar's still really low. Uh-huh. So there's such an opportunity there. So I'm like, do I give this thing another go? And I'm not going to do that with Rhino. I would do that with Prolific. Done. Because it's,
that's
it's,
a good play.
It's brand.
That's a good
it's
play.
Be more about, it's like, that's it falls right play. Into, you know, we rolled out the email. I, you know, I was able to get the president, Zach, over to run, to be the president of Prolific, who brought his email marketing with him, which plays right into our brand play, messaging. Though.
That's a good play.
And I was sleeping on email marketing until he showed me what he was doing in his service type with the Marketing Pro shit for all the contractors. And I was like, okay, now he does it for Rhino. But there's a whole play there to build out Prolific and
personal branding
and social. And it's going to have to, you know, we're going to come up with a plan and then guess who will buy it?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it would make, that would make a lot of sense to me for longevity of the business.
Yep.
Maybe it doesn't play out that way, but that's the way I'm thinking about it.
Dude. And you gotta try it though. You gotta do it now because bro, this social media wave is just started, by the way. Like, I know people think that social media has been around forever and no, it's been around forever, but nobody's really capitalizing on it and nobody's really doing it properly. It just started right now. Like, for the last year, people are addicted to social media. If you look at everybody's apps, I guarantee you, 80% of apps are being used on social media, or social media is 80% of their usage. The other one is text messaging and calls and all the, you know, all the things that they need to, but social media is 80 to 90% of people's usage. And guess where everybody's at right now? In their freaking phone. You go to the airport, guess what they're doing? You go to the gym, guess what they're doing? You go to the grocery store, guess, everybody's addicted to their phone. And us contractors have to do a way better fucking job of getting inside that phone, which leads me to the custom apps, right? One of the dopest things that we came up at Nuve was the custom apps. Like, having a custom app inside that home, not, it doesn't say Nuve. They don't even look for Nuve on the app store. They're looking for NextGen. They're looking for Service Champions. They're looking for whatever company you own. They're going to go on the app store. They're going to look your name. They're going to download that app with your logo and control their thermostat. That is what contractors need to focus. Personal branding. How do I get and stay on this fucking phone? This is not going anywhere, by the way. Yeah. The fancy glasses are coming and, you know, you're going to be like, this is still going to be around.
Yeah. So let's actually just transition into some Nuve stuff real quick too, because I do love that on 4th of July, you could send your personal messaging. You know, like, I saw some of those. Yeah. Which is pretty cool. So I love that you can personalize it to the individual contractor, right? And they can personalize their own message in it, which is cool. I do like the new gen model rolled out already.
December version 2.3 comes out. It is the sexiest fucking thermostat in the market. It's thinner. It's got a sleek aluminum bezel. It is a round screen. It's got a CO2 sensor in there. It's got a 5G. It's got a ton of dope shit for you guys.
Yeah, so. It looks cool. I think it's less abrasive on the wall, right? Because it's much smaller and skinnier. But you can modify like the color brightness, like all the fun things. Yep. So it is it's progressing and I'm assuming you got some of this feedback from like the contractors and you're all like, okay, these ones make sense. This one don't, but you have to, it's more than just, to me, you have to pay attention to this is more than just selling stats to be able to hit your $1 billion valuation. Like, you have to have good customer service. You got to have good technology updates, production,
a ton of investment.
I thought that Armenia, and maybe this is, maybe it's industry specific, but I thought Armenia, you didn't have to pay tariffs on.
So Armenia is the software side of my business. And then the Philippines is where I manufacture and produce.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Which, that's where the tariffs come in.
Got it. Okay.
And they kicked my ass and I was fucking pissed. And, you know, obviously I had to pass on that savings to our contractors, but at the end of the day, and I told this to a ton of my contractors, they're like, how come you're the tariffs and da, da, da. And I'm like, look guys, I fucking love what he's doing for our country. And I love that he's doing it. But, and in order for me to keep selling my product here, I am okay paying a tariff, but guess what? Then you guys have to pay for it too. So, it's manufactured in the Philippines right now. I'm actively going to move it into Texas. Right. I love Texas. I was just there. I'm going to actively move our manufacturing plant. I'm going to keep the Philippines going because, you know, I invested a ton of money over there, but the Texas is coming. Then I'm going to go into Mexico too. We just launched like 3 contractors in Mexico, which I'm super excited about. And we're going to put a manufacturing down there too.
That's cool, man. I didn't know about that. Congrats.
Yeah. Canada's open. We got about 9 contractors in Canada. Mexico's open. United States obviously is open. Next, we're going to tackle Australia. We got a ton of contractors that are reaching out to us saying, hey, we want the product. So this is a worldwide product, bro. This is the dopest fucking, this is one of the dopest things I've ever done in my life, honestly.
And then after you're done with Nuve, you're moving on to the education world, and then you're going to go in. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if I remember from our conversation, it was your plan is, you know, your three-year plan, your thermostat is like the focus, but then you want to make an impact on education overall. And then also you want, I know you're super passionate about wanting to get in Mexico and start doing what you can do.
We need to, man. We need to fix that fucking educational system. There's and look, it's simple. There's recruiters for college in every fucking campus in high school. There's recruiters for the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, everything in there. There's no recruitments for the trades.
It used to be called, you know, you take trade classes when you're in high school.
But they took them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had them, but I'm a little older than
everybody. Everybody had wood class and sheet metal class and all that. We had it in our high school too. They took all that out, Chris. They took all that out. There's no more, none of that. So the way we fix what we have, which is the biggest problem, when we talked about this in our group, the biggest problem we have in the contracting world is nobody wants to be a fucking roofer. Nobody wants to be a plumber. Nobody wants to be an AC tech. Nobody wants to be an electrician. We are looked down upon. Why? Because they don't know how much money we could make. I guarantee you, and look, I'm not trying to show off. I guarantee you right now, you start magnifying the message of like, hey, there's a young Mexican kid in Southern California just sold this company for over $100 million, and it's a plumbing and air conditioning company. And you give that message to every kid in America, they're going to jump off their fucking seat and be like, hey, how do I sign up? Where do I sign up? How can I get employed by it? Right. But the problem is nobody knows about us.
Yeah. We've been, you know, thankfully I think our group, our little peer group has a ton of industry influence across.
I agree.
And we're all yelling this.
Yep.
But how nobody's are we not? We, yeah, it's like I feel like we still aren't making.
No.
Like, there's no impact happening, no. And it is crazy to think about how, like, why did they make the decision to take the technical stuff out of schools in the first place?
They didn't consult me,
motherfuckers. You know, they probably didn't look to me for a consultant.
Exactly.
Option. I didn't think about it.
They just took it out. You know why? Because they some fucking smart guy looking at a P&L, right, looked at it and said, "Oh, that's expensive. We should put it somewhere else." And that's what they fucking did. Damn smart guys. Damn fuck smart guys. Fucking CFOs. I love you guys.
By the way, super important role.
Yeah, by the way, super fuck yeah. Controller, CFO, accounting, you guys.
Well, dude, listen, I want to make sure that we're about an hour into this thing. I just want to make sure that anybody who's listening, who's maybe either been on the fence with Nuve, you know, maybe when we're talking about the Nuve network, some of the, I think Ellen Roger next one coming up at the end of the month, doing some of these training. I think Tommy was before that. So you've been bringing, you know, some of the people to help with trainings.
Yep.
Do they have to be a part of?
Yes.
Okay. So that's how you get the extra training is because you are a Nuve.
We started off as a thermostat company and a software company. And now we're developing into the fastest growing mentoring company. And at first, I didn't want to do it to a huge, massive group, but then I started doing one-on-ones and I started doing group meetings and mentorings every month. And the problem's there, man. There is a huge problem in the industry, and there is no direction for these CEOs. There is no direction for these employees that haven't graduated into a CEO, and that's why I'm sticking to it. That's why I'm growing that platform in order for you guys to get the mentoring. In order for you guys to get, look, we're building the first digital library on our platform called Nuve Intelligence, where they have, if you guys join Nuve Networks, they have access to all the videos that I've done, to all the videos that the mentoring classes that we've done. They get a login to our website. They go in there and they want to know about financing. They want to get a refresher course. Click on Tom's video. Tom goes through a P&L and tells you exactly what percentages, what chart of accounts, what you should be tracking, what you should be doing. You want to know about marketing. You want to know about growth with Tommy. You want to know about whatever you want to know. It's going to be in that mentoring library. So yes, they have to be part of the Nuve Networks. That's one of the decisions we made as a team. They got to be part of Nuve Networks. They got to be installing our thermostat. And this is how I look at it. Look, if I'm going to take the time of my day and time of my life to be able to mentor you and guide you the right direction, the least thing you could do is help me with my thermostat. Right?
I agree. So then how, let's say somebody, when somebody wants to come on board as a Nuve contractor, what's
So they go on nuvehome.com, or they could hit us up on social media on any of the platforms and just shoot us a DM. They get a 30-minute demo on the product, basically showing you how to use the software side of it. The installation side is the exact same thing as installing an Ecobee, a Nest, a Honeywell. We don't need to train your technicians. That's one of the things that when I was designing the product, I made sure I don't want to start hiring a bunch of trainers to teach you guys how to. I didn't want to do that. So installation process and troubleshooting and everything is the exact same way as a thermostat. The 30-minute onboarding that we do is to show you what the features do, the messaging, the remote start of the systems, the alerts, all that. We show you in a 30-minute. And the next day, they're already getting the thermostats and installing them. Like today was a perfect example. Larson Heating and Air Conditioning here out of Arizona reached out to us on Friday. They got their onboarding on Monday, right? They signed up on Tuesday. I came over here just to say hi and congratulate them. And they're already, dude, we pumped up their team. They're probably going to install 50 to 60 thermostats today. So the onboarding super simple, guys. You reach out to us on nuvehome.com. We'll get you a product demo, right? There is a mentorship. There is a subscription fee behind it. Obviously, software is super expensive, and people us developing the custom app for every contractor costs money. All the features that we have cost money. So there is a subscription tied to the thermostat. It's not a lot, right? Every contractor in America could afford my subscription, but the subscription covers you, the mentorship covers you, the software and covers you, the thermostat. So look, at the end of the day, there's nothing better out there. Ecobee's not doing it. Honeywell's not doing it. And Nest is surely not calling you and saying, hey, how can I help you with your business? Or, hey, do you need a financial help? Or do you need me to teach you how to operate and grow your business? They're not doing it. They don't care about it, right? So it's the best product out there. We're priced around the same price as an Ecobee and a Nest. And I encourage every single contractor out there to get on our platform. Get on our platform, because guess what? You guys need to do a better job. We need to do a better job as contractors as retaining the client. Otherwise, we're always going to be investing 12, 13, 14, 15% of our marketing spend into marketing, because we're always chasing new clients instead of retaining them, right? The alarm company got it right, man. The alarm company got it fucking right. They are, you go to your panel and they have, you know, that ADT logo or that Bell logo. Guess who you're calling? Them. Why? Because of the monitoring that they have in there, right? So they got it right, man. So look, reach out to us. We'll do a product demo. I'll make sure that you guys, you know, our customer service is fucking flawless. I promise you guys that. So I'm here to help you guys out for sure.
Yeah, the team is growing. That thing continues to keep growing. Yeah. Is there a minimum unit order that?
No, most contractors are ordering two boxes to start. And after they install their first ones and they get their customer feedback, they fucking order. They start ordering by the pallets. You've seen the text messages. I get like 3,000 to 4,000 units per week now, or every other week coming in, and they're sold out before they even get here. I got customers that are pissed off. Semperfi, I'll get to you right now. These Semperfi's pissed off at me. Conejo's pissed off at like all our top 100 dealers that are ordering by the pallet now are pissed off because we can't keep up with it. But I promise you guys, we're, you know, maybe a week away from getting 5,000 to 10,000 a week now, every single week. So I know it's insane. I know. I told you. But you know what? I should have been more transparent with you of telling you, like, bro, I am about $20 million deep into this project. So I am not like here to like, hopefully it works. I am going to make sure this fucking project works, and I am going to make sure we take it worldwide.
I will say, like, over the last 2 years when I've gotten to be a lot closer with you, yep. I for sure would have bet on you. I didn't know you as well then, but yeah. I'm super happy for you. It's cool. Appreciate it. Listen, it's cool. We put him in here. We have the
attention to the point listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand, but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate from the first Google search to the driveway. Prolific brand design can help you be more of you, because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific Brand Design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific.
I think we have the most current model that's in here, around the Rhino office, and they're glowing orange and blue.
Yep.
Depends on the day, how I feel. But it is cool to see, to see you pushing this thing. And I legit think it's fucking awesome. Like, I think it's great. And I think the contractors are starting to obviously see that as well. Yeah. Cause shit, you get 4,000 unit orders, this week. I saw the one that came through.
I know.
That's incredible.
Our goal is to do 50,000 units this year. And then our goal for next year is 250,000 units. If we could install 250,000 units next year, holy fuck, we are going to kick Google's ass. We're going to kick Ecobee's ass. We're going to kick those guys' ass. We are against those fucking tech companies. We're going to kick their ass all day long.
Well, listen, dude, I appreciate you coming in Phoenix just to see me and me only. And then you made time for the others because you're coming in to see me. I think that's how that really goes. But it is always good to have you in here. Anytime we do a podcast, so I feel like it always is like,
always good,
it's always good.
Trying
shit
to help.
And, I think that to all you, to all the listeners, it's, I've seen the results of the Nuve network stuff that's happening, and the volume of people actually fucking attending it and staying, says a lot about, the quality of them. It's not just some another random call.
I appreciate it.
So it's cool to, it's cool to watch you, scale this.
Congrats on Prolific though. Honestly, Prolific is going to, do some amazing things. I've said it before that the one thing that can happen to another company is competition, right? Competition is what makes fucking companies light a fire under their ass and actually become a better company. Perfect example, ServiceTitan. Yeah. ServiceTitan has been ServiceTitan for the last 3-4 years, and they don't seem to fucking get their head out of their ass because they don't have competition. I guarantee you right now, if there was a competitor to ServiceTitan, those guys would keep developing their app and keep developing their software and give us everything that we need as operators. Instead, what's their competition? Fucking House Call Pro. It's like, what I'm saying? There's no, same thing with Google. Google has been Google for the last 15 years. And until somebody comes in, which ChatGPT, Gronk, all those guys are coming in, which I'm not saying they're going to replace them, but they're now, what's his name? Sergey? He came out of retirement. He came out of retirement because he knows he's about to get his ass kicked. That is the one thing that I love about what you're doing with Prolific. There's, a couple companies out there that had led the way and that, have gotten comfortable and, own most of the market share. And I can't wait till you kick their fucking ass. And I know Tommy owns some of it, but it's all friendly competition. It's only going to make his company better, and it's going to make you better too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they bought a marketing company and rolled it in. So like we're buddies. We don't care. But mine's much bigger.
Exactly. So. And we're here to, dude, I guarantee you one thing, Tommy or myself or anybody that's close to you will not do something to make sure that you fail. We will do anything to make sure that you succeed. So you bringing on Prolific and however we can help you as contractors or whatever we can do, obviously we're here to help you,
bro. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, listen, anytime you want to come in here and do this, I'm always down because we always come up with some good shit. Like when I talked to Ishmael beforehand, like literally we didn't prep. We just said, hey, let's come in and like, let's just shoot the shit. And that's when these are most, that's when these are the most fun. So, I would encourage all the listeners, give it a shot. Like, what do you get to lose? The worst case scenario, you got a great mentoring group that you're going to get some education from. Amen. And you got a cool looking thermostat.
Amen.
That you can send specific messages to your clients. You're going to read that message on their thermostat and have to clear it. So, they got to clear it. So they're going to read the messaging. It's pretty cool. You can send whatever you want.
We're about to, and look, to end it off, where we're at in our journey, we just landed a full integration with ServiceTitan. They're going to treat us as one of our marketing sources now, just like an email, just like a text message. They're going to be able to schedule a technician from the thermostat and their app. Meaning if you have a technician close by and they need you, 1 p.m. today, click confirm, technician gets dispatched all the way to the board on ServiceTitan. The call gets logged in into whatever technician is close by, and it gets automatically assigned to the technician. So we just landed that. We're going to announce our huge partnership at Pantheon, and we're rolling out version 2 at Pantheon. So I'll see you guys there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be there too. Well, listen, okay, quick recap. Whether it's, Nuve thermostats, if it's, you're focusing on AI, we talked about social media, whatever it is, like, figure out which one of those, you want to run with and don't half-ass it. Like, find one and actually go in and actually do something with it. And Amen. If you fuck it up, you know, change up how you're doing it and try it again. Learn from it. Keep listening to podcasts, you know, keep, you know, trying to reach out to people who can, you know, help you. If you want to reach out to Ishmael, you know, Ish is, you know, he makes himself available to pretty much everybody. But you know, do something at the end of the day. So, but you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.
Welcome to the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.